are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
It is Monday, February 13th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Trump unleashes brutal immigration raids. Meanwhile, in the White House, knives are out. And everybody is being stabbed. Meanwhile, the case against Michael Flynn grows. Parts of the dossier confirmed, not the salacious ones. Is Flynn gone, or is he the thread that unravels the sweater?
Dad, Ambassador Nabiyev's on the phone. Don't keep a man like that waiting.
More indivisible protests rankle congressional town halls. And while the Republicans take aim at states' low-income retirement funds, in fact, Republicans in states across the country begin their assault on Americans. And on the docket, Steve Mnuchin looking for a vote today. Linda McMahon, a vote within the next 24 hours to head the Small Business Association. And Pudzer on the schedule for Thursday for hearings to be our assault on labor secretary. All this and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you had a fine weekend. Rather distressing stuff, of course, as seems to be the norm for weekends now and weekdays. Both weekdays and weekends tend to be distressing in terms of what's happening with our government. Going to try and whip through a couple of things quickly, but let's just start on a light note. You know, this seems to happen whenever the Republicans take control. We saw this during the Bush administration time and time again. In fact, early on in this iteration of the Majority Report, we interviewed a guy named Jonathan Crone. And back in, I don't know if it was like around 2006 or something, they brought this kid out. He was 13, I think, at the time. They had him speak at CPAC, and they basically put him on tour. He was a 13-year-old kid who was a conservative right-wing talker. I don't know if he actually, I think he had a weekend show, and he
Didn't he have a book?
I think he literally had a book. Right? He had the whole thing. I mean, he was like, William Bennett if he was, smaller, much smaller and much younger.
Much smaller.
And, 6 years later, the kid grows up into a, late teens and realizes like, oh my God, I'm not that person. I was 13.
I was exploited by bizarre adults.
And he went to NYU, and now, I mean, I think you can follow him on Twitter.
He listens he follows to things a lot at double speed, and he changed his name to Matt Luck. How are you, Matt?
No, I mean, he's a very bright guy, and is, following international relations. Not that Matt is not a bright guy.
Not good.
But he came on the program, and he explained, in retrospect, I don't understand. Why do they keep Trump, bringing out young people? I mean, it's one thing, kids go to protests and whatnot, but, and it's, interesting to talk, but to create mini celebrities out of little kids who clearly, you know, haven't fully formed their politics. I mean, it's funny. Saul comes up to me. He's four, and he says, Donald Trump is bad. And then I say, yeah, that's true. And then he goes, we hate Donald Trump. And I say, look, we don't like to use that word in this house, but if you really need to use it about Trump, you can. But that's it.
We should get him a book deal.
And well, but honestly, like, okay, it's cute. Maybe I would record it and, you know, just make it a little, you know, joke for one day. But on the right, they celebrate this as if it is some type of vindication. And as such, I give you the latest moron to promote something like this, that big moron Jesse Waters on Fox News.
You told Ed that you are a fan of Donald Trump because of immigration. Tell me what you think of Trump's immigration platform.
I think if Trump builds a wall, I think it would definitely work. And so I'm okay with legal immigrants coming into the country, but not with illegal immigrants, because a lot of those illegal immigrants have problems or guns or drugs, and they shouldn't be coming into our country. And our country has too many problems right at the moment, and we shouldn't have illegal immigrants in our way.
Well put. I think you hit it right on the head there, Jacob. And actually, Donald Trump just issued an executive order beginning construction of the wall pretty soon. And who's going to pay for the wall, Jacob?
Mexico.
That's what we're hearing.
There you go. I mean,
that, you know, kid's a fucking genius.
The beauty is, though, is that little 9-year-old Jacob Silva could have been replaced with any Republican talker, and they would have said the exact same thing based upon the exact same lack of actual knowledge of what they're talking about. And what they don't seem to understand on the right is, like, this shows the vacuousness, you know, how vacuous their policies are. I mean, it's unbelievable, yet they celebrate this. I would be the last person to want to crush little Jacob Silva's dreams, but he should also know that the Republicans in Congress, including Tom Cotton, Senator Tom Cotton, are actually going to pass a bill that will cut back on the number of legal immigrants, as he would call them. I wonder if he'll then maybe change his position after looking at the executive orders
or he'll follow
the legislation.
Talking points. Right. He's like, I'm not concerned about people from European countries who share our values.
Exactly.
Also, I have to say, Bill Maher several years ago did a really, and he made the point. He was just like, you don't see a 11-year-old impersonating Rachel Maddow, like, because you can't when you're 12. Like, you're not able to do that. But you could certainly do Rush or Hannity.
Well, honestly,
just need to be a dick.
Is there any?
That's it.
If those same words had come out of a 45-year-old Republican spokesperson for the blankety blank Americans group,
right?
We would all just been that's,
we wouldn't even pull it as sound.
Well, we wouldn't even know it. We wouldn't even know it existed.
Completely unnoticeable.
Completely unnoticeable. It would have been like every other segment that Jesse Waters has produced on his program, which presumably has been going on for years.
Including
I have no
idea. Fact that his guest has more camera presence than he does.
Right, exactly.
That's also...
exactly. I mean, is what's fascinating about that is not that they got a 9-year-old to parrot those things. It's that they celebrate these 9-year-olds as if it's sort of in some way vindicating, but it's also these 9-year-olds are able to parrot conservative talking points
flawlessly.
With ease, flawlessly. I mean,
new character coming, 9-year-old Democracy Now guest.
That's right. Exactly. Unbelievable. All right. So last night, we had in my house, so we get blue apron delivered to us on Wednesday. And we usually cook it Wednesday, Thursday. But the beauty is, you put it in the fridge, you've got the ingredients, they're all labeled, you put them in a bunch, that's what we do. And if for whatever reason, we ended up ordering pizza or something like that, we cook it later. Last night, we had the cashew chicken stir fry with tango mandarins and jasmine rice.
Sounds incredible.
Unbelievable. Little chopped cashews on top. It was unbelievable. Each one of my kids ate it. Mile and I got into a little fight because she wanted to take all the mandarins out of the chicken.
Really?
With her spoon during the thing. And I'm like, you can't do that.
Would she want to eat them separately or she didn't like them?
No. She ate the chicken and then she stuck her hand back into the thing.
Oh, not good.
To pull out the mandarins. And I'm like, you can't do that.
You can't. That's out of bounds.
You can't do that. It's not appropriate. Eat the amount of mandarins that come with the chicken. For less than $10 per meal. But then I got her a deal. She ended up being a spokesperson. She ended up going on Rachel Maddow and delivering talking points. But for less than $10 per person per meal, a Blue Apron delivers easy-to-follow recipes along with pre-proportioned ingredients courtesy of over 150 local farms, ranches, fisheries across the United States right to your door. And because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe, there's no food waste. I can tell you right now. We had maybe a spoonful of rice left after that. Well, and then I ate it. It's everything you need to make sustainable and delicious home-cooked meals in 40 minutes or less. Some of the meals available in February include cashew chicken stir-fry with tango mandarins and jasmine rice. Had it last night. Unbelievable. Udon noodle soup with miso and soft-boiled eggs. That sounds good. Roasted pork with apple, walnut, and farro salad. That sounds great. Crispy barramundi. That's a fish, right? With quinoa and roasted carrot salad. Oh,
jeez,
my God.
Man.
Check out this week's menu. Get your first three menus free, meals free, with free shipping. I can't even talk now. My mouth is like salivating. By going to blueapron.com/majority.
Yes, no.
You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/majority. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Meanwhile, the other theme in my life right now is how can I make everything as efficient as possible? Because we have so much news that's coming at us. I have literally like 150 pages of chat that I go through now. It's just too much. And then I'm like trying to save articles, organizing my magazines. That's why I love Texture. It's an app that lets me read from multiple sources across like magazines, not just, you know, things like Time, Matt, and Newsweek, but also New Yorker, Wired, Family Handyman. I mean, I also got to have a moment where I get away from it a little bit. Over 200 magazines available. Texture basically allows you to pull stories from each of these. You have access to all the magazines. You can read them like you would, you know, like I've got a stack of 200 magazines here this month. I'm going to read them all. Or you can go through, select what articles you want, put it all in your basically own general interest magazine, or you can have them suggest magazine pieces based upon things that you've liked. It's fantastic. You get daily recommendations. You get exclusive interactive features. You can pinpoint the articles that you want to read. Texture is also searchable, which is awesome. So you can mark what you like, check out old issues, or view bonus video content seamlessly. Like I say, you get everything from National Geographic to Fast Company. Did you guys write something in Fast Company?
No, it was
Inc. To Rolling Stone. It's available for way less in the Texture app. And it was selected as one of Apple's top 2016 iPad apps. Texture is normally $9.99 a month. So this is like basically like a Netflix for your magazines. And the difference is you save on all these separate magazines. You don't have to subscribe
right.
to them.
Right.
If you sign up right now at texture.com/majority, you get a 14-day free trial. So you can go check it out. 14 days to try Texture for free when you go to texture.com/majority. That's texture.com/majority. Check it out, folks. I want to just play one clip, too, from Al Franken here. And Franken was on State of the Union with Jake Tapper And I don't know if this is his first time on, but we're seeing what we had talked about prior to the election with Franken, which is that he's going to make himself more present in national news. He had been laying low in his first term and then a couple of years, I think, because he had won his first term by, I don't know, 300 votes or something.
Was it that small a margin?
It was really small.
Wow.
And he won much bigger his second time around. He's going to play a very big role in these judicial hearings.
I really think Hillary ought to pick him. Or had picked him as VP.
I mean,
whatever. It's spilled milk, but he's
one of the
good
things that Franken talks about is that reportedly in a meeting that Trump had with about a dozen senators, maybe half of whom were Democrats, Heitkamp, Tester, Joe Donnelly, Bennett from Colorado, one or two others. He went on to talk about how the election was stolen from him, or I should say he lost. He had votes that were stolen from him. We'll talk about that in a bit. But he also went on to refer to Elizabeth Warren on multiple occasions as Pocahontas. Yeah, I'm serious. In front of the senators.
I didn't know that.
And
that part I didn't know. That's unbelievable.
Nobody said anything. Franken had said that he would have said, hey, please don't say that. That's racist and inappropriate. Here is Al Franken going further in saying that in conversations he's had with Republican senators, they're expressing some worry about Donald Trump.
Is it true that Republican colleagues of yours express concern about President Trump's mental health?
A few.
Really?
Yeah. It's not the majority of them. It's a few.
In what way?
In the way that we all have this suspicion that, you know, that he's not, he lies a lot. He says things that aren't true. That's the same as lying, I guess. He, you know, 3 to 5 million people voted illegally. There was a new one about people going in from Massachusetts to New Hampshire.
Thousands and thousands in a bus, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, that is not the norm for a president of the United States or actually for a human being.
All right, he was trying there.
Now, and to be fair, right, I mean, Franken saying not all of them, but I don't know if Franken has a relationship with all the Republican senators where they would feel comfortable saying that to him. But the fact that multiple ones have said to him, I mean, this is what's going on in the country, right? Like, you know, the one thing that you should be clear on when you sit there at home and you go like, this guy strikes me as insane. Speaking of Donald Trump, understand you're not alone. The vast majority of the country who's paying attention to this is either convinced he's insane or is seriously concerned that he's insane. And so good for Franken for basically saying to the American public, yeah, I understand that you're worried about this. Just know you're not crazy to think that. People who deal with him up front and close think that.
And incidentally, like, here's a good reminder about Republican ethics.
Well,
you know, they're shipping his cabinet nominations through. They're, you know, McConnell says he's happy with him, and they're literally behind closed doors saying,
"Yeah,
we all know that
Republicans don't care."
It's different when a senator says that,
right? They don't care if this guy's a lunatic. If they think they can get what they want, or if they think they can keep themselves in office, they do not care. I mean, think about the implications of Mitch McConnell coming out and saying what they are all thinking, or Paul Ryan, or if they had said that in the run-up to the election when they surely felt the same thing. Give me a break. Oh, this is the other thing that sort of, I guess, that is now sort of like running my life. Not only am I looking for total efficiency, but I'm working constantly. And the beauty of stamps.com is that when I've got stuff to mail, and we're going to get to the, with our new website, we're going to set up our little shop, and we're going to move these shopping bags that we have here and the t-shirts. But now, like when I've got stuff, I've got to mail envelopes, packages. Oh, I got to send my dad some framed pictures of the kids. That's what I get for birthday presents for all the relatives now, framed pictures of the kids. I can do it at midnight. What? How do you go to the post office at midnight, Sam? I don't. I don't like to leave my house. So I can get postage whenever I want with stamps.com. Anything you can do at the post office, you can now do at your desk with stamps.com. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. This is an amazing... I mean, if you sell anything, if Matthew Film Guy is not on this, I don't know why he wouldn't be. He's got his own little eBay shop.
I bet he is. He's a savvy guy.
Unlike the post office, stamps.com never closes. So you can get postage whenever you need it, 24/7. I don't know if you're just like occasionally sending a letter, but if you are doing anything with any consistent sending packages, sending small boxes, whatever it is, I don't know how you're functioning without this, frankly. Right now, use the Majority Report for this special offer. It's a 4-week trial. It includes postage and a digital scale. Because obviously, like most people don't have the ability. It's not like you're not a carnival barker. You can't 2 ounces, 5 ounces. 4-week trial. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Majority Report. That's stamps.com. Enter code Majority Report. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. In fact, never leave your house again. How's that? Kelly will never go there again.
Just stay in, put on your slippers, turn off your phone.
It's like Michael just mails it in every day.
That was a stretch. Stretch.
I always have my phone off.
All right. Let me
so fun.
Let me get into this. The over the weekend, and apparently reports just started coming in. I mean, I saw this in New York. There were reports on Twitter, like people putting out ICE enforcement in Queens on Staten Island. Understand something, that a sanctuary city is not one which has the ability to prevent federal authorities from entering into the city. This seems to be some type of misconception. What a sanctuary city or sanctuary state is that it bars local police officers, local EMTs, local state, county, municipal officials from reporting the immigration status of people they come in contact with. And the reason why this is important is you want these people to feel free to function as you would expect anybody else on the street if there's an emergency. You want them to call the fire department. You want them to call the police department. You want them to call if they see abuse of children.
Report serious crimes.
If they report, oh my God, they're pouring, someone's pouring feces into that food. Whatever it is. I'm just saying, whatever it is.
If they work at a restaurant, there's a major health violation. There's a rape. There's serious security implications.
And you want them to not hesitate to call the authorities. And so it becomes a sanctuary city in that respect. You are safe to function here as long as you're a law-abiding citizen. And understand, there's no one in this room who is a law-abiding citizen. No. Everyone in this room has participated in some activity that is far more illegal than coming in here and overstaying your visa or crossing into this country without documentation. Drug use, underage drinking,
killing someone.
Honestly, I mean, right there, just right there.
Capital One murder.
In my lifetime?
Yes.
Oh, good
right.
God.
Right, exactly. So just keep that in mind. In at least six states, and during the weekend, Jill Stein tweeted out something like, as these raids are happening, just remember Barack Obama did the same thing. Or something to that effect.
She's so
I don't
stupid.
Care. The point is not Jill Stein. The point is that it is the case that Barack Obama was bad on immigration. It is the case that particularly in his first term, he was extremely aggressive in deportation. By the second term, if you had not committed a felony, you would not be deported. And then, of course, there was DACA and DAPA. I think, you know, I don't know what was in his mind, whether why he felt he had to do that or whatnot. But that's just the reality. She tweeted that out, and our own Ronald Reagan made the point. He's an immigration lawyer. Reagan made the point that what's happening now is that the Trump administration is deporting, scooping up people, and that the Obama administration never did. There are reports, I have not seen confirmation, but there have been reports of ICE officials going into neighborhoods and just knocking on doors and asking for documentation. There are reports of ICE officials going to doors, claiming to be looking for somebody else, and then coming in and asking for everybody for their papers. There have been reports of ICE officials basically doing roadblocks. Now, again, I have not seen those confirmed by major media outlets, but we don't know. Immigration authorities arrested hundreds of undocumented immigrants in at least a half dozen states, according to the Washington Post, in a series of raids that marked the first large-scale enforcement of Trump's January 25th order to crack down on the estimated 11 million immigrants living here without documentation. Officials said the raids targeted known criminals, but they also netted immigrants without criminal records, an apparent departure from similar enforcement waves during the Obama administration. Last month, Trump substantially broadened the scope of who the Department of Homeland Security can target to include those with minor offenses or no convictions at all. They raided homes and workplaces in Atlanta, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles area, North Carolina, South Carolina. Gillian Christensen, a spokeswoman for the Department of Homeland Security, which oversees immigration and custom enforcement, said they were part of routine immigration actions. ICE dislikes the term raids and prefers to say authorities are conducting, quote, targeted enforcement actions, she said. Then the Post goes on to write, Christensen said the raids, which began Monday and ended Friday at noon, found undocumented immigrants from a dozen Latin American countries. We're talking about people who are threats to public safety or a threat to the integrity of the immigration system.
There you go.
A threat
That's
to the immigration
big
system.
Big loophole line right there.
ICE raids of unusual intensity during the past 2 days have taken place in Florida, Kansas, Texas, and Northern Virginia. Hiba Ghalib, an immigration attorney in Atlanta, said ICE detentions were causing mass confusion in the immigrant community. She said she had heard reports of ICE agents going door to door in one largely Hispanic neighborhood asking people to present their papers. The Obama administration conducted a spate of raids and also pursued a more aggressive deportation policy than any previous president, sending more than 400,000 people back to their birth countries at the height of his deportations in 2012. This is, and we covered it at that time. And this is why, in the event that we have a Democratic president in the future, you push back. And why you get commitments up front from a presidential candidate, say, I don't know, Hillary Clinton, to not pursue this type of agenda.
She did sort of make some commitments like that, didn't she?
The public outcry over the lengthy detentions and deportations of women, children, and people with minor offenses led President Obama in his second term to prioritize convicted criminals for deportation. And then we ultimately subsequently got the DAPA and DACA acts, which, of course, forget about, gone. And how does that play out, the DACA and DAPA? For 8 years, Guadalupe Garcia de Rios had checked in at the Federal Immigration and Customs Enforcement Office in Phoenix. Requirements since she was caught using a fake Social Security number during a raid in 2008 at a water park when she worked. Every year since then, she's walked in and out of the meetings after a brief review of her case and some questions. Rios was always a candidate for deportation, but as a matter of practicality, the Obama administration had focused its finite resources on removing the most serious criminals. The government even won a deportation order against Rios in 2013, but had not carried it out, instead merely requiring her to check in periodically. Rios came to this country about 15 years ago, I guess, when she was 14. She left Acambaro, a city in the corner of the Mexican state of Guanajuato. She sneaked across the border into Nogales, Arizona, 3-hour drive from Phoenix. She married. Her husband is also undocumented. Gave birth to a boy and a girl who are now in their teens. She was working at Golfland Sunsplash in Mesa, a suburb of Phoenix, when Maricopa County Sheriff Deputy swooped in 2008. Sheriff Arpaio, arresting her and several other employees on charges of suspicion of identity theft and using forged documents to obtain employment. She spent 3 months in county jail, followed by 3 months in an immigration detention. In 2013, the immigration court ordered that she be sent back to Mexico, but her case has been on hold since the changes that President Obama instituted. Her son, Angel, still remembers the evening of her arrest. The knock on the door, the flashlight in the darkened living room, the sight of handcuffs on his mother's wrists. I was in second grade. I never forgot that night. I've lived in fear of losing my mother every night since then. So Rios went to her appointment about a week ago, Wednesday, knowing what would happen or could happen. Carlos Garcia, executive director of Puente, an immigrants' right group, told her she could skip it and go into hiding or seek refuge at a church in North Phoenix, joining two other unauthorized immigrants facing deportation who have lived there for months. She went to the appointment anyways. She was arrested. She was deported. On Thursday, Ms. Rios' husband and children received a call from her telling them she was in Nogales, Mexico. She's not lived in Mexico since the age of 14. Her daughter had stayed with protesters until long past midnight. They tried to blockade the car that took her out of that meeting that sent her to be deported. By sunrise, the daughter was home packing her mother's suitcase, toothpaste, her brush, her favorite pants and shirts. To have to pack her mother's bag, she said, her lips quivering, tears filling her eyes, isn't fair. So finally, we've gotten this woman out of the country. This is what the spokesman for the Federation of American Immigration Reform, Ira Melman, said. It's easy to put a human face on this one woman. You know, I also suspect that it's easy to put a human face on the other human beings that are going through this same process because they're human and they all have human faces. We can't precisely pinpoint who the person or people who are who might have gotten a job taken by a person or people here illegally, he said. The general principle we hold, the people who violate the laws, responsible for the consequences that accrue to other people. So in other words, Ira Mellman has never broken a law. He's never gotten a speeding ticket. He's never smoked marijuana when it was illegal. He never took a drink as an underage kid. He's never cheated on his taxes. He's never had a relative who's bought drugs from Canada. We don't hold people in this country. Never mind, like, bank fraud. Oh, no. You know, those people...
You might get a cabinet position.
You get a cabinet position.
Yeah. This is worth looking at.
Absolutely... stunning. And this is what the implications of it. Here is Paul Ryan just now, almost a month ago today, at the CNN town hall, assuring people that this very thing wouldn't happen.
We've got a drug problem. We've got a lot of problems. We want to be able to secure a border. When people get confidence in this country that our border is secured, that our laws are being enforced, then I really believe the country, all people in the country, will be in a much better position to fix these thornier, bigger problems. But if you're worried about, you know, some deportation, you know, force coming on, knocking on your door this year, don't worry about that. So let me ask.
And now let's play the clip of Paul Ryan, who came out today and really poignantly criticized the administration for this deportation force that's going out there, targeting people who are just a threat to the integrity of our immigration system. Here it is. I mean, you got to hand it to him. He's very good on that organ, isn't he? That's it.
What a scumbag. People always have to remember that Paul Ryan is, in many respects, the biggest scumbag.
And just to let Paul Ryan know about it, as we speak, there are protests in Wisconsin. Monday will be a day without Latinas, immigrants, and refugees. There's a protest in Milwaukee as we speak. Buses and caravans coming in from over 25 cities. They are protesting Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark as he has declared his intention to enroll his department in the federal 287G program, deputizing his sheriffs to act as ICE agents. What a scumbag. My husband was deported, said Jennifer Estrada, a community leader in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. I know what it feels like, the impact it had on my children. Well, just unbelievable. I mean, these people are just, they're sick. They're sick.
They're bigots.
Let's just, while we're at it, here's a story that our old friend Doug would like. Before we get into Donald Trump's claims of thousands of people who stole New Hampshire election from him.
He'd like that one as well.
A woman named Rosa Maria Ortega has been sent to prison for voting illegally. She will also face certain deportation. Here's why. She was a native of Monterrey, Mexico. She came to Texas with her mother when she was an infant. More than a decade later, the family was scattered after the mother was arrested and deported. Two brothers born in Dallas automatically gained citizenship. Miss Ortega became a permanent resident and gained a green card. This is according to her older brother, Tony Ortega, who's 35. So she brought here as an infant. She would have been eligible for DACA. As a Dallas County resident, she registered to vote and cast ballots in 2012 and 2014. The government forms allowed applicants to declare they are permanent residents, but the voting registration form only asked whether an applicant is a citizen or not. She assumed that her permanent resident status allowed her to vote. There was no option for her to write permanent resident. So she ticked the citizen box. Then the county later mailed her a registration card. She believed it, she was good to go, having been here for 30 years, more. When she moved to neighboring Tarrant County and registered again, this time she checked a box affirming that she was not a citizen. When her application was rejected in 2015, she called election officials and told them she had previously voted in Dallas County without difficulty. She asked for another application. I don't know what happened in that conversation, but she returned it with a check in the box affirming citizenship. That raised questions. Law enforcement officials arrested her on fraud charges. So she's been arrested, sentenced to 8 years in prison. She's now in Fort Worth, awaiting transfer to a state prison. Her four children, ages 13 to 16, are being cared for by siblings and her fiancé, who is a trucker who said her arrest had scotched their plans to get married. The children's fate is unclear. Mr. Sherman lacks legal custody. Her siblings are still debating their options. Now, of course, the far right is touting how this woman, who voted in 2012, a presidential election, in 2014, in a statewide election, is an example of one of these permanent residents, I guess, who voted. I don't even know why permanent residents, frankly, don't have the ability to vote. But nevertheless, she voted illegally. She was confused about her status. She then lied about it on the thing, assuming that they just don't give you the option. So for voting purposes, I'm a citizen. Perfect example how Democrats steal elections. Yep. But for the problem that in 2012, she voted for Mitt Romney. In 2014, she voted for the current Attorney General, Ken Paxton, a Republican, because she was also a registered Republican.
Double the sentence. I'm just kidding.
Ken Paxton is the one who is putting her to jail for 8 years. They have proved their point. Because this type of, to allow this kind of criminal to roam the streets is a threat to society. Put her away for 8 years. Leave four kids without a mom. Incidentally, there was a second fraudulent ballot case in the same area in metropolitan Fort Worth. Ended with a probation. But it's Trump time, folks. This is the way you get votes with if you're living in a Republican state. Just unbelievable. All right, let's talk about Flynn and what's going on with, I mean, it's a complete crap show in the administration right now. There's a tremendous amount of backstabbing. There's some unbelievable, you know, unbelievable story about what's going on in the National Security Council. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable.
People who live their life believing in bizarre, outlandish conspiracy theories actually have a way of, like, implementing bizarre, outlandish conspiracies when they have an opportunity to.
But I want to do something different.
You want to do voter fraud first?
No. Before we even get there, I want to do some of the indivisible protests, so that people can at least get a sense of, if you're feeling like, how can I push back on this? We're going to put this out in the next, we haven't been able to keep up with the weekly newsletter. We're going to try again this week, but we will also include in that a link, and we'll put this link on the homepage today, of the Town Hall Project 2018. It is a Google spreadsheet that will allow you to see where the next town hall is near you. I mean, you can call your Congress people and go to the next town hall. But what's happening at these town halls is awesome. Here is a town hall in New Port Richey, Florida. Gus Bilirakis is the congressman, Republican. Congressman made the mistake of allowing Bill Akins, the chairman of the county Republican Party, to come up and address the audience, which wanted to know what Bilirakis was going to do in terms of the ACA. This was a mistake because this guy is a loon. And of course he's a loon. He's the chairman of the Republican Party in this county in Florida. Here's how he addressed the audience and how they addressed him.
In Florida, when Bill Akins, secretary of the Republican Executive Committee of Pasco County, had the mic. Watch this.
Here's the problems I have with the Affordable Health Care Act. Number one, there is a provision in there that anyone over the age of 74 has to go before what is effectively a death penalty. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. It's in there, folks. You're wrong. Okay, children. All right, children.
There's nothing a room full of adults who are trying to fight for their health care like more than being addressed is, okay, children. Okay, children. My God. Here's some Band-Aids. Here you go. Unbelievable.
If you were a little bit more mature, you'd understand that I have to strip away your health insurance now so you don't face a death panel in the future.
I saw it on WorldNet Daily. It has to be true.
Maybe if you would read some pop-up stories about the secret Illuminati conspiracy to put you on a death panel, you would have the maturity to understand what's going
on. Okay, children, just make sure as you leave the building, please stop by my table. I've got plenty of brochures selling real gold that was delivered by aliens.
By gold.
Here is...
Okay, children.
Here is a woman at that same town hall. This is Congressman Gus Bilirakis' town hall in New Port Richey, Florida. I don't know. Is it like Mindy's mom, maybe? She is expressing to the congressman what... She's assessing basically Paul Ryan's bill. Now, we've talked about why Paul Ryan's bill is a total fraud. The most fraudulent part of it is the state high-risk pools. You only have to remember a couple of numbers. In 2008, it was about 34 states in the country that had these high-risk pools. It served only 200,000 people. It cost $2.5 billion a year. Half came from subsidies, half came from other sources. $2.5 billion a year for 200,000 people. Paul Ryan says that he's going to allocate $2.5 billion a year to serve 4 to 20 million people. There's no math that that adds up. Here is this woman at this town hall.
The Affordable Care Act is very, very important. Yes, there are many problems with it, many problems, and we all know that. It can be fixed. It can be fixed. And this is what Republicans need to take into consideration. We don't want a better way. Please, I've read that bill. Paul Ryan's bill is junk.
Yes!
A break already. Please let it go. We need this Affordable Care Act. These people need this Affordable Care Act. Our young people need the Affordable Care Act. We all need the Affordable Care Act. Just work on fixing what needs to be fixed.
Now, they can't fix what needs to be fixed because what needs to be fixed is we need more government intervention. You need to say to insurance companies, if you want to operate in these states, then you are forced to stay in the exchanges and you are forced to offer individual insurance. Or better yet, you can say, we don't need private insurers. If you don't get insurance from your employer, we're going to expand Medicaid. We're going to expand Medicare. It can go either way. And then, in fact, while you're there, why not get rid of private insurers altogether? Untether it from employers and just Medicare buy-in up to age 45. And over 45, everybody gets it for free. Or you could just say Medicare for everyone.
I like that one. I would go with that one. Mindy's mom crushing
it. But it will involve raising taxes. Republicans will not do it. They're in a rock and a hard place. But look, lastly, let's do this one. We've played two clips from Congressman Gus Bilirakis's town hall. One where the Republican chair basically got up, told a lie about a death panel, and then called everybody children. Another one where a woman tells the congressman Paul Ryan's bill is junk. She doesn't get into the details, but again, the details are quite straightforward. You cannot cover the people that need to be covered in state risk pools. So to be fair, let's allow a Donald Trump supporter to come up and make his case that why the Affordable Care Act should go away. Here it is.
Please look at the facts. The reason why Obamacare doesn't work is because it's too expensive. You can change the insurance companies. You can change the insurance companies. But Obama's let it happen. That's what happened.
So the fact is, according to this man, that insurance companies charge too much for health care and Obama let it happen. So he's either arguing for more government control of prices, which I am all in favor for. But understand, insurance companies did quite well under the Affordable Care Act because they got a whole host of new customers. Subsidized by the government. So they did do well, but their rising prices? That's because private insurance for health is a joke. It's not a sustainable business. They don't even use their own money when we talk about large employer group insurance. It's not their money. They're not betting their money. They're just administering it. The private insurance industry is not a viable business model. And the only way it can survive is if A, it's subsidized by the government, or B, the government allows them to basically sell a fraudulent product. I could start a car company tomorrow that could compete with other car companies if I sold cars that had defects in it and there was no way to know that I had cut all these corners.
I like how Republicans are like, we're actually open to both of those things.
Yes, exactly.
We should definitely, the government should give them more money and they should be allowed to sell a fraudulent product.
The bottom line is, you can call something health insurance, but if it doesn't cover you when you get cancer or you get hit by a bus past a certain limit, and you're not aware of that when you buy the insurance, you don't understand the implications of that when you buy the insurance. It's not really health insurance. It's a fraudulent product. End of story. All right.
I think that it's a lot more transparent just looking at that video and listening to the man, the last man at the town hall screaming about Obama. That now that he's not president, it's a lot more transparent why he's saying this and how Obama is somehow this like caricatured evil villain type of figure, and it's just racism.
Just take the health care. And then there'll be old white people death panels. Just take it. Take the pre-existing condition. Oh, you're 75 now. You got to meet now with Minister X to see whether you should get your affairs in order.
Think about like just the actual expense and the trouble, like the idea that you've got to, at age 74, meet with a death panel. Like all these people.
Brother Shabazz, do you think that they should stay around for another 3 months? I'm going to vote no on this one.
Are there death panels in each county? How do they do this?
Everywhere that there's a large conglomeration of white people, you will find death panels.
Yeah.
Everyone
in that room was white. It's not like I wasn't aware of this dynamic for the past, 8 years. It's just that it's so...
Oh, they're going to be talking about Obama.
You know what's actually funny?
I like to give people the benefit of the doubt.
I don't.
Yes, I know. And even with that in mind, I have, categorized a lot of things as racist, just motivated by racism. But now that he's not president, it's just...
What's funny on the flip side? What's funny on the flip side is people who are like, now they're getting how endangered they are and all of a sudden appreciating it. And it reminds me of, I heard this piece years ago, I think on like This American Life or something like that, about Harold Washington and his first term as mayor of Chicago. And the kind of racism that he experienced was like he would go to like a church for like a civic event and people would spit on him and he was the mayor, right? Like it was just relentless. And one of the people they interviewed for the series was like a young Polish guy who was a Chicago guy. And he's like, oh, yeah, like we just weren't into Washington. And, it was kind of we were probably wrong, but, it's just the way it was. And then at one point, randomly in the middle of the interview, he's kind of like, he goes, you know what, though? But come to think of it, Harold Washington's the best mayor we ever had. And he just starts ticking off like the roads were better. The guy always cleaned everything up. I feel like there's some weird national version of that happening a little bit with Obama and healthcare.
All right. We got to take a break. Head into the fun half. 646-257-3920. Folks, you can support this program by becoming a member of the Majority Report. Go to jointhemajorityreport.com. It's almost so easy. Sometimes you forget about it.
Cuck Nation.
jointhemajorityreport.com. And again, if you can't afford it, send us an email and we'll help you out. Because when you do support the daily free show, as a thank you, we give you an extra, hour and a half of programming every day. Practically. Maybe sometimes longer. And you get to search the archives. There's all sorts of value. And it's commercial free. So jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, justcoffee.coop. Fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY. Get 10% off. And if you buy crap from Amazon or Jet, The least you can do is skim some off the top by going to majorityreportkickback.com, clicking on the link, bookmarking it, always buying your Amazon or Jet stuff through us. We get a little kickback, thus majorityreportkickback.com. All right, going to take a quick break. 646-257-3920. See you in the fun half. Should be able to do it.